The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Joining us right now with his own thoughts on the importance of prayer in general and this particular event itself is Dr. Jack Graham, who in fact, as I recall, served as a National Day of Prayer Honorary Chairman in years past. He is, as many of you know, the pastor of the Prestonwood Baptist Church and noted author of a number of books. His most recent one we talked about a few weeks ago here on the show, Reignite, Fresh Focus for an Enduring Faith. Dr. Jack, welcome to the show, my friend. It's always an honor to have you join us.
Oh, it's great to visit with you, Don, and always great to be with our friends up in the Washington, D.C. area. We're grateful to be online with you guys regularly.
Well, you, as I recall, I don't remember the year, but you've served as the honorary chair of the National Day of Prayer itself. What memories has that given you?
Well, I did. I suppose it was 4 or 5 years ago, and it was one of the highlights of my life, really, and to be selected to spearhead prayer across the nation. Shirley Dobson at that time, the fantastic wife of Dr. James Dobson, and of course, Dr. Dobson was involved as well through the years, but Shirley led the National Day of Prayer commitment through the years, and so we just had a wonderful time, and members of the House of Congress and representatives, rather, and the Senate. And so it is a national event, but for me, it's much more. It's a call for churches and for Christians, really. I remember our theme that year was Hear Our Cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this year's theme, Pour Out Your Love. But that year, and oh, how we need to cry out to God again. Our nation is in trouble. We are deeply divided at every level, and we need God to not only pour out his love, but his people need to cry out to him.
I've brought it up several times through the last hour and a half of the show, or a couple of times at least. 70 years, it's quite a milestone, but some might say, the cynics at least might say, well, you Christians have been praying for 70 years, and the country's in worse shape than ever. What would you say to that kind of criticism?
Well, I would say, imagine what it would be like if we hadn't been praying. No, I would say that God hears the prayer. The Bible says God hears the prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. And prayer offered in Jesus' name, of course, is heard by God, and he answers in his own time and his own way. But our nation is, we are not turning to God. We're turning away from God. And we may be, in fact, I'm optimistic. I'm full of faith. I believe revival can come, and I'm believing it will come. But in many ways, you look around us, and it appears that we're under judgment right now. And all God has to do to judge a nation is to withdraw his hand. It's the judgment of abandonment. And if God chooses to take his hand off America, then there's no hope for America. The only hope for our nation is God and the power of the gospel to change lives. And so we can't change every institution, apparently, but what we can do is pray for our neighbors, pray for our communities, and pray for our churches, and that does make a difference. I assure you, God hears the prayer of the righteous.
And that last point, I was just going to ask you, in light of what I think you may well be right, we may be at the very end of our tether, so to speak, the end of our rope as a nation, and how should we then pray and conduct ourselves? I don't think it's acceptable at all for Christians to become depressed and morose and say, nope. Well, we're just, this is it. I've said for a long time, this is my own view, I think when the church's final hour comes, whenever that is, it really ought to be our finest hour. What do you think?
Oh, I love that statement. I'm going to say that from the pulpit. When the church's final hour comes, it ought to be our finest hour. I agree. And besides, we just can't quit. Now's not the time to sit down and shut up. Now's the time to stand up and rise up and bring truth to the nation and to live out the gospel. And, you know, then let God be God. And God is the God of all nations. He puts one up and one down. And I pray for the sake of my children, our grandchildren, that God would, there could be a new beginning for America, a new spiritual revolution. I grew up in the 60s as a teenager. I was a child and a teenager, in the late 1960s. Revival did come. It was known as the Jesus Movement now, but a great revival. And if you recall, if anyone lived in the 60s, that was a very, very terrible time. And you had Vietnam War and all the conflict with that. You had racial rioting in the streets. Streets were burning. It was a very bad time in America. And yet in the midst of that, God sent a great movement, a Jesus movement. And God just may choose to do that again if God's people who are called by his name, the scripture says, will turn from their sins and seek him, then God will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. Our land is sick, culture is sick, and only God can heal it. And we get to be a part of that. That's why Jesus said, what did Jesus say about praying? He said, men ought always to pray and not give up. So I can't change. We can't change what's going on in the invisible world around us and the satanic attacks and everything that's going on. But what we can do is do what Jesus commanded us to do, and that is not give up, but to keep praying.
Pastor Jack, we know the words of James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails a great deal or accomplishes a lot. How do we pray effectively? What would you say are some of the ingredients of effective praying?
Well, it's the life that prays. So first of all, every one of us need to search our own hearts and, in effect, draw a circle around our own lives. Get on our knees, draw a circle, and say, Lord, I'm not going to leave this spot until I'm right with you. Or, Lord, send a great revival and let it begin in me right here, right now. Because many Christians are powerless in prayer because their sin in their lives, or even just the disobedience of prayerlessness. So many, unfortunately, are strangers to God and strangers to prayer. And so it starts with me and my own personal walk and revival. And yet, you know, prayer is truly a simple thing. It's not all that complicated. Sometimes the best prayer we can pray is just H-E-L-P, help, mm-hmm. and to cry out to God. But ultimately, I like to say the prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that starts in heaven. And by that, I mean God has something he wants to accomplish through me or through his church, through his people. And he pours out, he sends down that request into our hearts, in effect, and gives us a desire or a thought or a need. And then we just simply close the circle. We pray it back to him. We close the circle, if you will. And so the prayer that gets to heaven is a prayer that starts in heaven. So God wants to do something. He wants to accomplish something, his will, his purpose, and he allows me to be a conduit to offer prayer and to say, Lord, here am I, send me. And that means praying. That means witnessing. That means serving. I'm just so committed to the local church. And I would just say to everyone who's listening right now, go support your church. Go be a part of the fellowship of God's people. You may not be able to change the world, but you can change your neighborhood. You can change your street. And it begins in prayer as we cry out to God.
I'm thinking, as you're talking about it, of In the Old Testament, as we know, there were those in what we call imprecatory prayers, where the judgment of God was called down on one's enemies and one's situations that one wasn't pleased with. I suspect there's a temptation to pray that way these days, but we have no ladder. We have no permission to do that. In fact, Jesus said the opposite. We have to pray for our enemies, political and otherwise, correct?
That is right, and that's why I said, just a second ago, that, draw the circle and say, yeah. Lord, let the revival begin in me. Jesus talked about before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, get the log, the beam out of your own eye. And so what does that verse say that we quoted earlier? If my people who are called by my name, so revival doesn't happen in the White House. It doesn't happen in the State House. It happens in church house and in my house, in your house, when we yield to him and surrender to him.
On that note, we'll break. But thank you, my friend. Always good to have you on the show for any reason, and especially leading into the National Day of Prayer.
Well, let's have a great day tomorrow praying and uniting and reigniting our hearts together, and pray that the fire will fall and that God's name will be proclaimed, that Jesus will be exalted, and that churches will be revived.
Amen. Dr. Jack Graham, pastor of a great church it's Prestonwood Baptist Church in Texas. And more to the point, he can be heard every day, Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. right here, PowerPoint with Jack Graham on 105.1 FM WAVA. And you can check his work out also at jackgraham.org. And the other website for their church is prestonwood.org. Speaking of churches, and Jack just mentioned the call to churches, local churches, get to your church, get back to your church if you've been away from it. Get to it physically, by the way, folks, as soon as you can. I know there are still a lot of, even in our own church, we're probably 40% regathered. We understand that. We're live streaming our service each Sunday morning, but I understand the temporary inconveniences and limitations, but I think we need to fight back and push back against the temptation to get in a comfort zone where you can keep your bedroom slippers on and your cup of coffee in hand and just go to church from your easy chair. God save us from that. We need to be together.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.